Katie.
And I'm Steve. And this is the City of Reading Podcast. Happy to have Steve Bay, Deputy City Manager, with us today. And welcome, Steve, and tell us a little bit about your role within the city.
Thank you, Steve. And you know, I'm grateful to be here this afternoon. And in my position at the City of Reading, I'm kind of the product of the City Manager's recent reorganization. And that includes the Deputy City Manager overseeing our Housing Authority, our Housing Community Development section. And then also I'm the Director of Economic Development and Innovations. For today's conversation, my specific role is really the City's appointed downtown liaison.
And you've been with the city for quite some time, right, Steve?
Yes, yeah, so I've been with the city for almost 23 years now.
Wow. Which department did you start in?
I started out in the housing division and worked through the housing division for probably 9 or 10 years before I then moved on to the redevelopment agency. After redevelopment agency was eliminated, I went back into housing and grown in housing under the community development section and oversee a lot of community development projects, specifically, you know, also affordable housing projects in the community.
So for the purposes of today's conversation, we really wanted to talk to you about kind of all the exciting redevelopment that's happening in downtown Reading. Obviously, when folks drive by or walk through, there's construction everywhere, it seems, and if you want to dive into what's happening downtown and what the future looks like in downtown Reading.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, downtown Reading is really in the, you know, in the midst of an exciting revitalization. You know, we've been working in downtown for more than 20 years trying to revitalize it and recreate our, you know, what was once the downtown mall area. And in our redevelopment days, we were lucky enough to remove the roof and create a pedestrian plaza. But, you know, really, after you get that leg of development done, it really wasn't enough to put some liveliness in downtown. And, you know, redevelopment was eliminated, but the state came back and they had, you know, presented some new opportunities with affordable housing and sustainable community dollars that really have allowed us to create some of the projects that you see downtown. With that, we're able to start opening up the streets, restoring the original grid, infuse some good mixed-use projects that incorporate some market-rate retail and commercial space along with some residential units. And we have a number of those projects that we'll talk about today coming up. But, you know, downtown is just really, you know, you look at the physical improvements, but it's all a kind of a product of our downtown specific plan and our downtown transportation plan that was supported by the city council and the community. And we're just really putting that into action when you look at the overall activities that we're doing today.
And I think that there's a misconception that this has just been started, right? But I mean, this has been in the works for years.
It has. And you know, our first downtown specific plan was done in early 2000. It was like 2000. Now, you know, we've gone back and we've updated that in 2018. We've been doing this since the early 2000s. It's just all of a sudden we had, you know, the right funding sources and the right private partners to really bring some significant projects into downtown.
Yeah, because it does kind of feel like it's all happening at once.
Right.
And I was even surprised to find out that it had been in the works for, you know, over 10 years, because it feels like all the movement is happening just last year. It's exciting.
And Steve, when you say downtown specific plan, what does that mean exactly?
No, the downtown specific plan is a, you know, it's a planning document that gives the community a guide for development within our downtown. We want it to be a thriving downtown that is not really designed or built around the automobile. It's providing a downtown that has multiple layers that are, you know, attractive to many users. And that includes, you know, people that are pedestrians that want to live and work downtown, or those that want to bike and use downtown. You know, of course, we still, you know, there's parking downtown. It's just the way that you utilize it is changing. You know, we used to have a parking structure in the middle of our core, and that's where everybody went to park. But now we're moving those to the outside. And so with that specific plan gives you a guide of where to put those outlying parking facilities and where to build your, you know, your tall, denser type of structures. And so it really gives you that roadmap to development in your community.
And I'd say that the parking structure in particular was kind of a contentious subject for the community for a minute. But I think if you actually break down the details, it was a good move for the city. I think maybe you could just speak on that for a minute.
Yeah, you know, in regards to California street parking structure, you know, there were 645 parking spaces there, and everybody since the 70s has been parking there. So it's really a matter of people changing their habits. That was prime property in the core of downtown that was really earmarked by the specific plan to become a mixed-use, vibrant area. And so you don't want to have that just be a parking structure. You really want to promote that development. And so we did partner, and we made a private partnership to redevelop those three blocks, and we'll talk more about Block 7 later on, but it also gave us an opportunity to bring, you know, to life some of the parking facilities outside of the core that were underutilized, and now they're being utilized. And so it really, the transition we made as a community in the short period of time, I think, was really well orchestrated, and it all falls back on private partnerships and public partnerships really making these plans that we have active can happen.
Right. And when all said and done, you know, as you mentioned, Block 7 and Market Center, when projects downtown are completed parking-wise, I mean, you're not anticipating a shortage of parking.
No, we're not. And we did get down to a zero parking level back in February, March of 2020. Sure, there was a lot of stress there because, yeah, all that parking was eliminated and being recreated. And so, but since then, we've now, we're on the plus side of that, and we've reestablished new parking locations that are exceeding those numbers. And when we talk about Block 7, we'll talk about the new parking structure there and the amount of parking that is being included with that project. But yeah, we're going to exceed that expectation, and which is always good. We projected conservatively, and we're outpacing that.
If we just want to dive into Market Center, can you talk a little bit about that project? What is that project?
Certainly. The Market Center project is, a lot of people in the community will recognize it as the former Dickers location, and that was a retail store in our community, and it was an anchor in downtown for so many years. But over time, it just became an underutilized commercial space, and K2, in partnership with Community Revitalization Development Corporation, they were able to acquire that land and then also partnered with the city to apply for some state grants, and that included the Affordable Housing Sustainable Communities funds, and we were awarded $20 million with that project. And so by getting awarded these grants from the state, it really allowed the city to acquire the right-of-way to restore the street grid that is, you know, all along Market Street and Yuba Street and Butte Street. But then it allowed the developer to tear down that, you know, antiquated commercial space that was really vacant. And, it was also, you know, dilapidated and beyond its useful life. And we were able to reconstruct the underground parking facility. And now you're looking at, you know, the Market Center. We talk about Market Center. It's a four-story, you know, 80,000-plus square foot facility that offers about 22,000 square feet of commercial space on the first floor, and then the second, third, and fourth floors are residential units that are going to be available to income-qualifying households. And so because of the funding sources, that's what drives what we were able to do with that first project. But it really unlock downtown for, you know, it's going to create a, you know, vehicle access, pedestrian access. You know, it creates an opportunity for people to live and work right in the core of downtown. So it really brings things to life right there, where it was really just a, I don't know, if you ask me, it was like a sea of concrete. And just sometimes there were people down there, and really a lot of times there were not. And that brought along a number of other issues for us.
But, and that's pretty close to being finished as well, is it not?
Yes, it is. And really, between the Market Center project and the Downtown Street Circulation project, they both work hand in hand. One is a private development, one is a city project, and they are both looking to be completed at the end of, end of November, middle of December is where we're aiming for right now. And that's really going to invigorate downtown. You have 82 residents that are going to be moving in to that core. The Market Center project being done with the underground parking facility and the streets being done, you're adding another 145 spaces of parking downtown. So you're infusing residents, you're opening up new, you know, there'll be new commercial space that's become active. There are some art features that are along that building that really make it stand out and make it an interesting facility for people to come and enjoy. So it's all those things that we've been, that are mapped out in the specific plan, but they're actually coming to life and being active.
Yeah, I mean, talking about vibrancy coming to downtown, just having those residents, you know, their balconies overlooking Market Street, it's going to bring a whole new element of life and excitement and energy to that area of downtown.
And are they actually, have they called any residents in yet? Are people still applying for those apartments, or do you know where that stands?
They are still accepting applications. I'm not sure of where they're at, if there's a waiting list right now, but I know that they're going through more than 100 applications for those 82 units. We'll know more over the next couple of weeks. They're looking to get occupancy right before Thanksgiving. And we'll see how many tenants are able to move in. And they're all working through that qualification period right now. So the people that are going to live there are people that pretty much live and work downtown. They want to be part of that downtown fabric. So it is, you know, affordable housing. But, you know, when you talk about that and it's really income qualifying. And when you look at those households, it's a lot of people that live and work downtown. They work at the restaurants. They, you know, work at the cafes. They work over maybe at the hospital. And so it's really complementing that opportunity to live and work in that downtown core.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steve, you mentioned that there's an underground parking garage underneath Market Center. Will that just be for residents, or will that be open to the public as well?
No, it's available to the residents, and then it's also available to the public. So there's some conditions in there that have a certain number of those spaces down there. It's about 90 spaces, and those will be available to the public between the work week 8 to 5, and there'll be a small fee to park in there, but it'll be gated. It's secure. Here, and it'll be well lit, and it adds another 90 spaces into downtown again, which is going to be huge.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so maybe we can talk next about that downtown street circulation project, because I know that Market Street area kind of right in front of Market Center there is obviously a lot's going on right there. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's new roads being paved and I'm sure electrical, and maybe just talk us through kind of what does that all entail.
Yeah, the downtown street circulation project really restores the original downtown grid. So you're bringing in cars in through Market Street. They're able to go southbound off of Tehama, drive into the core. They're able to, circulate through Butte or Yuba Street. And there's parking along the side. There's some parallel parking so that you can go in and enjoy a lunch. It's 2-hour maximum on those spaces. But it's really going to support the retail and the restaurants that are in that core. You'll notice some of the features within the street circulation project include, we have pavers. Normally we have asphalt streets, but because of the grant, we were able to bring in a different element on that design. And so we have paved sections through most of that. I would say about 80% of it is pavers. And there's raised pedestrian sections that, make it really easy to walk through and utilize that space. There's, it makes a curbless area so you're not tripping over something. And so there's those nice features, but then also the pavers bring in, a little bit of some design features with that and how that, looks as it plays off of the buildings. And, we've got a great partnership with REU. They've implemented their new lighting and some pedestrian lighting down there. So it should be really well lit. That's going to also help out the storefronts as they light up their storefronts. And just it makes it really a very interactive space by having the streets open to bikes and pedestrians and vehicles. And it'll also become, over time, a great event space. We know that we're all excited for it to be, the streets to open up, but we're also excited to shut them down and have a big, a big event down there. And that'll happen over time once we get beyond these current regulations that we're under. But, the streets are really important to how downtown people are able to flow through downtown and utilize our downtown. So it really unlocks an area that, it hasn't been unlocked since the 70s. So I grew up here myself. I was born in 1970, and I've never driven through that area. So it's going to be an experience a lot of people have not had, and I think they're going to enjoy it.
And on that note, so with regard to kind of cars versus pedestrians, especially on that Market Street, we have heard from some folks in the community who say, "Wow, you're taking away all this walkable space to let cars come through." It looks like some of the sidewalks are wider than maybe your traditional sidewalk in that section. But how do you envision kind of that play between cars and pedestrians in that area so that it's safe, but also an area that it's still very walkable.
Well, some of the features, I mean, some of the safety features, of course, is by having the raised intersection, it slows cars down. And also the flow is, it's a little more restricted. So cars are having to drive through there slow as it is. There's room enough for a car and bikes and peds to interact with themselves in that space. But it's really the design and having the raised intersections as you flow through that area is really going to slow down the vehicle traffic. And then also, you know, it also invites, you know, pedestrians and bikes. And when you have more people in the area, people just tend to slow down. And so, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some public learning process in this for certain. But, you know, I think it's going to be easy to tell by, you know, how the street is delineated through the design between the vehicle pavers and the pedestrian pavers. And then those outdoor spaces you mentioned, you do have some pretty good size sidewalk areas that are really going to be, they're going to promote restaurants coming outside and creating outdoor seating and opportunities for people to be out there and be active and interact with that space. So that's going to, I mean, it's really going to slow the area down and really make it more, not a fast pace area. So I think it's just naturally going to do itself with the design that was implemented.
And we should say that we do have information about these projects online at cityofreading.org/downtown. There's pictures, renderings, more information about anything. So if you're hearing something and you want to check it out, visit cityofreading.org/downtown.
So maybe next we could move on over to the Block 7 project and tell us, you know, Block 7's kind of an odd name. What does that mean and where is it and what does it entail?
Yeah, you know, Block 7 is an odd name because it has no, you know, connection with our downtown. It's just there used to be these same seven main parcels that made up these three blocks. And at the beginning, you know, we always, Alan Knott especially, is always really cautious about calling anything a certain name at the very beginning because it always seems to stick. And Block 7 is one of those. But, you know, when we refer to Block 7, we're talking about the area between Tehama Street and Placer Street along California Street, in between the California Market Alley right there. And so that is our defined three blocks that basically you start from the north is from Tehama to Butte and then Butte to Yuba and then Yuba to Placer Street. And we have our first block, the north block, is the one that's currently under development. And that block is going to consist of three different developments, basically. There's a tower that sits at the very north end of it that bookends that north end. And then in between that and a market rate project is a six-level multi-layer parking structure that has 398 parking spaces that'll be available to the public. And so that parking structure is currently under construction. They did their first footing pour last week, and they're getting ready to do their second pour this week. And so it's going very well on the parking structure. And I would anticipate that parking structure being ready in about a 12-month period of time. And so that's our first project for Block 7 out of the gate. And then right now we're working on closing escrow for the mid-block project, which is between Butte and Yuba Street along California. And that's it's an affordable housing project again. And it's a 78-unit affordable housing project that is a multi-story building with some retail space on the first floor and then the residential units on the second, third, and fourth floors. And then at the south end, we have our surface parking lot, and that parking lot is a private partnership with the property owners, and they've made it available to the public while these other two blocks are being constructed. And then over time, we'll see what that south block brings for development. But we anticipate something will be developed there at some point in time, and along with that development, we'll include additional parking. But yeah, that's pretty much the Block 7 project in relation to those three blocks. Along with that funding, you know, it's that part, the Block 7 project is partially funded by, again, the AHSC, which is the Affordable Housing Sustainable Communities Fund. And we received in partnership with the McConnell Foundation, K2, and also Community Revitalization Development Corporation in the city. Received two grants, one for $20 million and one for $4 million. And that is really what is assisting the development for the mid block plus the parking structure, and then additional cycle track improvements that'll be done along California Street and throughout downtown is really because of these grant funds that were leveraged. And you know, these grant funds are, you know, we're looking at $24 million, but that's only a portion of the funds that are coming in. Between these two blocks, you know, we're looking at another private investment probably in the $120 million range. So, you know, those dollars are really just leveraging the private partnership, and they're really having to bring a lot of, you know, development experience and financing to the table to make these happen. And so, you know, it's a great public-private partnership example that we like using, and it's you're starting to see the success now as they start construction with those.
Yeah, I mean, how exciting is that? Question for you, Steve. On that front, I mean, what do you say to the people who say that there's too much affordable housing, you know, that that'll drive the average income earner down, and that it's not who should be downtown? We do hear, you know, there's a lot of questions from the community coming in on through the City of Reading social media channels on around affordable housing and how, you know, why it is the way it is and why these new developments are affordable housing. I mean, how do you answer that?
Well, the reason these are affordable housing projects is because of the financing that is the grants from the state and the federal government. They require that the units are affordable. And I think where the community can maybe embrace this affordable housing concept is really understanding that these are income qualifying households. They're working families that are paying rent. They have jobs, and that rent is controlled for them, so they can actually live and work within their means, and they get now this chance to live downtown, where if they live and work downtown, maybe they don't need their vehicle as much, and that helps them out with their, you know, monthly expenses. And so it makes it more affordable and workable for them and their kind of their household structure. But it gives them a brand new unit. Most of our affordable housing projects are some of the nicest multifamily projects in the City of Reading. Now, we also try not to concentrate them all. It's just we happen to get two big grants, a block away from each other. And with that, you know, we're pretty much going to be stepping out of that big, large development type of activity in downtown because we want the market to take over now. And what these projects have done is they've helped facilitate the development of the infrastructure for other developments in downtown. Plus, it also opened up the streets, and it brings in a good population in the downtown that is really, I mean, contributing to the downtown because a lot of them work down there specifically. But a good example is you see something like Placer Heights on the corner of Placer and Pine. That's a private development that just got a little bit of gap financing from the city. But most of those, there's 14 units of market rate housing and two are affordable, but it allowed that project to occur in downtown. So you start seeing the tide turn a little bit where now market rate can really develop on its own. And we're actually seeing that when we have developers that are investing in downtown properties now, and they're just doing straight market rate commercial space and residential. And we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that since no developer was able to bring a cash flow in over the last 10 years that actually penciled and made sense. But now that we've done these other projects, it's starting to improve. The market's starting to pick up and improve where that cash flow really works on the private side, and they can do more development. So to answer your question, I mean, really, the reason we supported these is because we were able to get grant funds, and we knew those grant funds would support these developments but also be more of an influence outside of the area too.
That's great. So, Steve, how do these projects downtown, how are these going to address the homeless issue that Reading seems to be facing, specifically downtown, but, you know, pretty much citywide as well?
Well, I think that that's a multi-layered question, and there's good answers for it. So these areas prior to the development really created some spaces for people to hang out and cause problems during the day. And now that we have opened them up, we've opened up the streets, you're inviting cars, pedestrians, bikes, people moving through that space, and people living in that space. typically those transients or homeless, they don't want to be where everybody's at. So by bringing activity into your core, it helps because now you're putting, especially with the design of the units we have in the core, there's outdoor, there's outside balconies overlooking the streets. And what that does is it's really a crime prevention measure. And these tenants are now overlooking the street and they can report things that are happening. And we just recently had our Reading Police Department has a substation right in downtown. Oh, and they're operating out of that facility over in Foundry Square. It's a great public-private partnership by that property owner, and it allows the police department to operate in close proximity. Even though they have a big area to cover, they're still in close proximity to downtown, and it gives more eyes on the street. It'll allow them to address things in downtown in multiple ways. By having their presence in downtown, it really helps us out. When we think about the homeless in our community, I mean, really, it's a statewide issue, but in our community, we try to address it also by some of the grant funds that we receive from the city, and we partner with service organizations to address that. We're also actively participating on the continuum of care with the county, and our city manager is really working hard to figure out a new low barrier opportunity for them, which will be a big plus for our community. So we're constantly striving to hit the next opportunity and fill those voids as we can. But when you look at the downtown developments, I think it really places a lot of activity in downtown, and that, you know, that's going to move people to another location probably. But it also, creates opportunities. If they are homeless and they go through some certain, they may be living in one of these units one day because they got a job and they got back on their feet and they're living and working downtown. So it does come all the way around full circle sometimes. And we'll see how those stories play out.
Steve, you mentioned for both Market Center and the Block 7 project, there'll be some commercial spaces available. How does that process work as far as bringing in, shops or restaurants and kind of just maybe walk us through what the status is on some of that and how that piece of it works?
Yeah, that retail space or commercial space is really, operated and administered by the private investors. And so they are the ones that are making those partnerships and doing that marketing. And right now I know that K2, they are marketing their space in Market Center. They have a leasing agent in downtown that is really working on opportunities. They have a retail consultant that's operating that leasing office, and they're trying to attract the right retail or commercial space to program that first floor. And so I would have to defer to Alan Knott or Daniel Knott to give you the specifics of how they're working with that retail consultant and going to program that space. But it's a very well thought out. They're not wanting to just put anybody in there to fill the space. They're really wanting it to be complementary to downtown and their business model. We leave that really to the private investor to really make that happen.
And what would you say to the ultimate downtown skeptic that out there in the city of Reading that the city's spending too much money or that there's not enough parking or that no one's going to go downtown anyway? What do you say to that person about these projects?
Well, the city, in regards to spending too much money, and these are grant funds that were provided to the city from the state and the feds. And what we're doing is we're using those funds to leverage private money and create development in downtown. And so I think that's a great model financially for us to do that because it creates jobs. And, you take Market Center, for example. Yeah, we got a $20 million grant that was infused in that project, but it also leveraged another, $55 million in private dollars, going into those spaces. And so, there's a larger private investment than that these grants really kind of infuse and partner with. The city didn't spend really any of our general fund or any of that. It's all grant dollars that we're administering to meet the program goals between our program or our funding providers and our downtown specific plan or transportation plan. And so it's a well-balanced, orchestrated event that really happens. And I think for those that are looking at it like, well, I think the biggest skeptical thing is about parking. And really, I would say that we are providing more parking opportunities than what were originally in downtown. And with that, it's just a matter of people changing their mindset or their habits. And so, yeah, you may have to walk a block or maybe two blocks. But really, when you walk downtown, it's pretty nice. It's enjoyable. It's a nice walk. And for those that are not able to walk, we've implemented a new downtown area shuttle, Dash, and that's available from the surrounding parking areas to bring people into the core. So we're trying to infuse new ideas. And so I think a lot of times it just takes people time to figure out how to interact themselves, how they want to participate in downtown. And I would say that, I mean, it's not going to appeal to everybody. Some people will be like, oh, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to walk. I don't want to. But and they'll go to another. They'll go to another part of the city and go to a different restaurant that has parking that's surrounding it. And so we're trying to make that, you know, the area really vibrant, unique, and have those specialty restaurants and specialty shops. And so some of that is coming online, and we'll see how we do. And it's just kind of filling that vision. And hoping that everybody kind of, and I would say, you know, a lot of the downtowners I work with, they're all super excited. They've been doing this for more than 20 years, and they're finally seeing it come to reality. You can see some of the vibrancy when you go to the park. You know, that was a park that was really quiet, and sometimes we had events there, and now there's all, you know, a lot of events going on in that space. And so now people look at that as a good location for activity, or, you know, and how does the park play into other restaurants that are, you know, how does that liven things at night on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? So you start seeing those things develop, and people start changing their business model to match what's going on outside. And so I think, you know, there's always going to be a skeptic, but, you know, these are well thought out projects. And I think that I think at the end that people are going to be pleasantly surprised and very happy with the improvements that have been implemented.
Thanks for listening this week. To ask a question or suggest a future episode, send an email to podcast@cityofreading.org or tweet us @cityofreading.